Today on Real Radio.
Paul is saying, not only am I the least or the less of the least, the word that he used is a word that no one has ever used before, and Paul made it up right here in your Bible, right here. Paul made up a word that stuck. And it would be kind of like us today saying that, what's the word? It was humongous. Well, what does that mean? Paul says this, and this is the word, this is the closest we can get to it in the English. Paul says, I am the leaster. That's the word. Isn't that great? He even did it in the Greek language. He says, I'm the leaster. Of all that are the least, Paul says, I'm less than they are. Because he knew himself.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament book of Ephesians. We've been in chapter 3 of this letter written by Paul, and he's been speaking of the mystery, which is now revealed. There is equality between the Jew and the Gentile who follow Messiah. Today's presentation focuses on verses 7 through 10 and is called The Unsearchable Riches of Christ. Here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
When we extend grace to one another, we know exactly how that person feels when grace is given to them. Unearned favor. We, you, I, pick them out, and undeserving, we give them what is not due to them. And isn't it a joy to do that? Have you been forgiven much? It's wonderful to forgive people. Jesus says you forgive because you've been forgiven. Jesus says you withhold forgiveness. I too will withhold forgiveness from you. Jesus told of a parable of a man who owed like $15 million to his boss. And his boss or the collector came and said, you owe me $15 million. And he says, oh, please be gentle. You know, I can't pay it. And the man says, well, the debt's canceled. That's okay. Then the guy walks out of his house, goes down the street, and grabs a guy by the neck who owed him $15. And he says, give me the $15 you owe me. And the guy says, man, I can't pay. Into prison you go. And when that master heard that the man who was forgiven the $15 million could not forgive the debt of the man who owed him $15, he says, you're going to prison, pal, and you're not going to come out till you've paid every last bit. Because you failed to extend grace. But to those of us who are sinners and we know it, it's an easy thing. Having received blessings from God, we want to bless others. If we've received mercy from God, we want to extend mercy to others. Love, forgiveness, acceptance, and the grace of God. Each spring in Russia, the Russian people, they go out to, when the snow melts, they go out to their dachas. That's their The government, this communist Soviet Union, gave them a parcel of land, all of them. And you can build a mansion on it, or you can build a little shack, depends upon how much money you have, what kind of resources you have. But they all go out there on the weekends and sometimes during a long extended time during the summer. And it's really kind of cute because I just had this happen to me. They're out there farming and working their land. And then when it comes fall and winter, that's how you eat. Because during the harvest time, they bottle everything and pickle everything and prepare it all and store it up for the winter. And there's this Valia in Victor. They prepared this incredible mushroom soup. It is the best. Everything she cooks is the best, this lady. It's just incredible soup. And the thing is, they said, we want you to sit down and have this soup. It's great. Well, I'd never had it before. But they knew how great it was because they had been partakers of it first and they wanted to extend it to me. And I sat down and I ate it and I ate more and I ate and I ate it. And now the thing is, you know, when are you going to come to eat more soup? They first had it, they enjoyed it, and they wanted to share it. That's exactly how you are. You've been forgiven. God's grace has been effective in your life. You want to give it out. That's the wonderful thing about evangelism. We share what we know. And Paul experienced the grace of God, and he couldn't wait to give it to other people. Boy, did he experience the grace of God. And look what he says here. He says that it was a gift given to him, and it says, by the effective working of his power. This is a tremendous statement. The effective working. The word effective, in some of your Bibles, is effectual. Listen, it's energio in the Greek, no big deal, but energio. And then working is energia. Effective working, energio, energia. Energio is to be continuously active. God is in you right now. Isn't that good news?
I don't feel like it.
Well, he is. Having a rough time, having a rough year. God is at work. Man, sometimes you can't even see it. But he's continuously active. And then the word working, energia. The doing of what needs to be done. That's what that word means. The doing of what needs to be done. He is continuously active doing what needs to be done, and that's in your life. It's the same truth that applies to Philippians 1:6. About he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ. How do you know? Because he's continuously doing what needs to be done. Isn't that good news? That encourages me, because there's a lot of work in me that needs to be done. And so I'm excited about that. But then he says here in power, the end of verse 7. This is the word you already know about it. It's dunamis. And it's where we get the English word dynamic or dynamite. And the word means abundant force, miraculous power, over ability, over abundance, over work, as in the worker, and that's God. He has bestowed upon us this power that he's working within us to bring us about in our relationship with Christ. And by the way, it is the same word used concerning the power of the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Now here's where our theology either goes out the window or into our hearts right here, right now. We either punch in or punch out right now with this truth. According to the Bible, which we would all say we believe in, according to the Bible, the Holy Spirit who lives in us is the same Holy Spirit who has the power that raised Jesus from the dead. That same power, dunamis, is the same word that is at work to produce within us our Christian life. That is radical. It is theological truth. It is correct biblically, but is it active and true in my life? The Holy Spirit's in me. But when I go to feed upon the Spirit and the things of God, am I feeding or am I entertaining myself? Am I ingesting what God has for me? Do I read my Bible? And you know, you got to ask, how do I read my Bible? You can get caught up in your devotions and it's just simply, I did my devotion today. Oh, you know, I did it. Well, okay, but did your devotion do you? We can get into our relationship with God like punch in, punch out. Hey, I read my 5 chapters today. Well, what did the 5 chapters do to you? What did you read? Let me think. No, it didn't do a thing. If you got to stop and think, it didn't do a thing for you. We're all guilty of that. We need to slow down and experience the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says, Jesus told us, that the Holy Spirit will use the Word of God in our lives. It's the same power. In 1 Corinthians 6:14, Paul says there that God both raised up the Lord Jesus Christ and will raise us up also by His power. And you might say, well, Jack, that's in the future. It is and it isn't. It's right now too. Romans 15:13 says now, and this is the current moment, the present. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's now. And this word abound is a great word. It means to jump into or to leap over into hope. You ever walk around a corner and somebody startles you? You ever walk in a room, turn on light, and there's somebody standing there? Somebody a while back thought it would be funny if they got into my office with this statue, with this big cardboard cutout thing of Bill Clinton. And that's enough there to just scare you to death. But they put it right behind my desk, and I went and I opened the door, and before I turned the light on, I saw this silhouette. It was just black. And it just scared me. You know, I was startled. And then I turned on the light and saw who it was, and I, you know, really freaked out. But the thing is, it startled me. And I jumped. This afternoon, I called home for some reason, I don't know, and I was talking, I don't know if it was to Rebecca or whoever on the phone, and I heard this, ah, ah, and I thought, I could see visions in my mind of some guy running through our house with a butcher knife. Ah, ah, you know, and I'm listening. What? What? Look at the spider! That's the biggest spider! And they were jumping all around, you know. Where the word here to abound is to jump into hope. And we can get so, as a Christian, so bogged down with the things of this life. And we have no hope. We begin to lose hope. And we do like that guy. We go out in the middle of the ocean and throw ourselves out there. Listen, the power of the Holy Spirit's at work in our lives. Paul says here, verse 8, he says, to me who am less than the least of all the saints. This is kind of funny. It's true to Paul. It's true because Paul knew his sin. It's true to us. We all know this. I'm the worst of all sinners in the world. How can I say that and mean it? Because I know me. You don't know me. Well, Paul says, I'm the worst. I'm the least of the least. And this is kind of a play on words. It's a great word that he used here. And Paul is doing a little play on words because his name Paul means little one. And so Paul is saying, not only am I the least or the less of the least, the word that he used is a word that no one has ever used before. And Paul made it up right here in your Bible, right here. Paul made up a word that stuck. And it would be kind of like us today saying that, you know, what's the word? It was humongous. Well, what does that mean? Or whatever the word. Paul says this, and this is the word, this is the closest we can get to it in the English. Paul says, I am the leaster. That's the word. Isn't that great? He even did it in the Greek language. He says, I'm the leaster. Of all that are the least, Paul says, I'm less than they are. Because he knew himself. Now look, you might say, well, this is not doing my self-esteem all that good. Listen, your self-esteem will destroy you if you're looking for self-esteem for self-esteem's sake. You hear me out. Don't run. Ushers, just lock the door. And you're not going to get out until you hear the truth about this. Running around thinking that you need to build up your self-esteem, you will forever have to maintain and weed and take care of that kind of a situation, because your self-esteem, if it's connected to you and you're focused on you, along this life's journey, you will constantly be dented up and scratched and marred along the way. It's life. People are going to attack you, and some of the closest will attack you. And what are you going to do? Run into the corner and say, I got to think a happy thought. I have to think a happy thought. I'm good. I'm fine. I'm good. I'm fine. Look, it doesn't work. It does not work. And I know you might be paying a lot of money to somebody that tells you it works. It works. It works for them because it's $150 an hour. it works for them. Listen, you want to have a complete life, you need to get in Christ. And if you're already there and you haven't realized it, you need to see yourself in Christ. What more esteem do you need to hear that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son for you? There's nothing greater than that. But my analyst, hey, God said you're awesome to Him. Yeah, but you know what? I got fired today, and you got fired, you know, if you were, first of all, if you like punched the boss, you deserve to be fired. But if you got fired for some reason that's silly and stupid and it doesn't match up, you probably got canned because God's got a better job for you somewhere. Look to Him, not to yourself. Paul says, I'm the littlest. Paul had no problem because he saw himself in Christ. And grace, by the way, is always given to the least. And I'm glad for that. He says that he's the least of all the saints. This grace, he says, was given. It's free. Grace can only be given by God. That I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. This grace that was given, the only way that if Paul made up a word, I made up a word. And the only way that this grace, you can understand this, is that it's Paul is saying there's super-duper grace. There's super-duper grace to those who are the least. And you know this is true, people. You don't even have to study your Bible and get all the original languages out on your desk or on your computer to figure it out. All you have to do is look at the world and do the opposite. Whatever the world is doing, just do the opposite. And the world is saying, take a stand. Be number one. Whatever it takes, man, do it. If you've got to climb over that guy's face, then so be it. Look out for number one. It's the survival of the fittest, brother. Well, whatever the world is doing, take a look at it. Do the opposite. And in doing that, God's grace will be upon your life. We all know this. If we've walked with Jesus at all, if you seek to totally defend yourself, you know what God does? God lets you defend yourself. And that's a horrible place to be. If you demand your rights, which you need to read your Bible carefully, as a Christian, you have no rights. But if you seek to defend your rights, you know what God does? God just says, well, if you want to defend yourself, I'll let you defend yourself. And man, are you in a mess. I've tried that. It's best to let God be your defense. God will put grace upon you. Here's some examples. I thought you might want this for some practical stuff. Gee, where can I put this into my life? Here's something. Here's a few things. An example concerning God's grace in physical trials or tests. I need this one. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7 through 9. 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 9 says, Paul says, and lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, an attack, a physical attack. He says, a messenger of Satan was sent to him to beat him up. Well, that's crazy, scary. Some demon comes and attacks Paul, and he knew about it. Lest I should be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I prayed to the Lord three times that He might take it away from me. Have you ever done that? Oh, God, take this away. Take this away. One, two, three. Take this away. Take this away. Take this away. God, I prayed just like Paul. And the Lord said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made complete in your weakness. Therefore, most gladly, Paul says, I will rather rejoice or boast in my weaknesses that the power of Christ may be upon me. What an attitude. I pray three times that God remove this ailment from my life. And then God says, no, you know what? I'm going to work this thing out. And I'm going to use this thing in your life. And besides, Paul, the things that have happened in your life, I need this to be upon you because you could get conceited and lifted up and prideful about all the stuff that you're doing. So I'm going to use this little thing here to keep you in checks and balances here. Now, when you and I get afflicted or something's going on, we pray and ask God about it, and God says nothing about it. It's silent. We begin to think, He doesn't love me. He's not a fair-weather God. We are fair-weather followers. He's not a fair-weather God. Paul says, man, I've prayed 3 times. God didn't take it away. And I found out in my sickness that God is more powerful in my life through my life. I don't know if that's important to you or not. But it ought to be. God's grace comes to us in spiritual matters. Acts 4:33 says, and with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them all. That's a wonderful thing. Grace was overflowing. It means that it was overflowing onto others. Exceptional grace, liberal grace and favor towards others. Have you ever been there? Have you ever experienced that? Maybe in home fellowship groups you can experience that. Or maybe when somebody lets you out of the parking lot. That's a neat thing to experience. But those of us, many of us who've been to Russia, it just happens. You're a long way from home. Your umbilical cord's been cut. And it's an amazing thing. Some of you be standing there and you're thinking, you know, I don't want to say anything to anybody, but I'm like really hungry. And, you know, Lord, I didn't pack enough food, or I, you know, ate it all last night and I have none left for today. And somebody comes up and says, hey, man, you want a piece of cheese and some bread? And you start breaking bread and the fellowship is just amazing. And, gee, I don't this and I don't that. Hey, man, we got you covered. Pray for me. I didn't sleep all night. Jet lags got me messed up. We're going to be out for 15 hours today on the streets. People pray, and God's grace is there. Amazing. It's powerful. Great grace was given so that the gospel could be preached. That's good news.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation taken from Ephesians 3 and verses 7 through 10. It's a study called The Unsearchable Riches of Christ, part of a fascinating series through this Pauline letter that emphasizes equality between the Jew and the Gentile who follow Messiah. We'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, just a brief reminder that Election Day, November 4th, is fast approaching. And in California, we have Proposition 8 on the ballot, a serious attack on marriage. Now, even if you're not from California, don't be fooled by the rhetoric. The civil rights of churches, pastors, and all God-fearing people are at stake. Again, even if you don't live in California, it's important for anyone who supports the idea of marriage being defined as between one man and one woman to be informed on this issue. And so on our website, we've set up a special educational section about the facts of so-called homosexual marriage. Even if you live in different parts of the country, eventually this issue will make it to your state. In the meantime, you can share this website with your friends and family. Visit realradioactive.org to view Pastor Jack's video answers to questions that keep coming in about marriage, homosexuality, civil rights, and so forth. Again, that's realradioactive.org. Our telephone number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. And of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.